Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, we go right into breaking news about what's happening in New York City with the subway shooter. We ask, what is the purpose of the Second Amendment? And we tie that together with something happening in China that will just take your breath away. That and so much more. Email me your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. And subscribe to the Charlie Kirk Show podcast and hit subscribe. Get involved with Turning Point USA today, tpusa.com. Start a high school or college chapter today. We are going to Milwaukee next week. And the great Candace Owens will be with us, tpusa.com/tour, to see all of our tour stops. And again, you can email me always, freedom@charliekirk.com, and support the Charlie Kirk Show at charliekirk.com/support. Again, tpusa.com for any and all information about our high school and college chapters. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here. Brought to you by Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage. For personalized loan services you can count on, go to andrewandtodd.com, the wonderful andrewandtodd.com. New York City used to be one of my favorite places in the world. I still love New York, but what they've done to it is what I hate. It still has an energy and a magic to it, but what these politicians have done to it is just, it's unrecognizable. This morning, it seems that a would-be terrorist, and I use that word intentionally, not because we know anything about this individual, but when you try to inflict mass crime, mass murder upon a population for, let's say, any sort of other irrational reason, it's nothing short of terrorism. And the police are soon going to give an update on the subway shooting in Brooklyn. Here's what we know. What we do know is that an individual wearing a vest came onto the subway and started shooting indiscriminately, and had some sort of devices that were detonated. We think these are just smoke devices, or devices that would emit some sort of a smoke screen or some sort of a distraction. We don't know any more than that. But let's go to Cut 43, Harris Faulkner reporting. Play Cut 43.
Brooklyn subway station is a major crime scene this hour. Earlier this morning, we know multiple people were shot, dozens seen running through some kind of smoke. And what we've learned in just the last few minutes is really critical information. We don't exactly know how it will tie in, but we do know that now a huge portion of Brooklyn has been put on alert. Our phones started to go off momentarily.
At least 16 people were injured, including 8 who were shot, when a suspect set off a smoke grenade and unleashed a gunfire on a Brooklyn subway. I've been right near this subway station. I know exactly where it is. The gunman, possibly disguised as an MTA construction worker, wearing a gas mask, launched his bloody assault around 8:30 on a Manhattan-bound N train on the 36th Street station in Sunset Park, where authorities later discovered several undetonated devices. And so this is going to be some graphic footage, but here's some footage of the aftermath that we're going to play. Let's go Cut 45 first. Now, incredibly, it seems that no one has died, and we pray that remains the case. And just to think, in New York City, what would cause something like this? Well, I mean, New York City is becoming a very violent city, unfortunately. Previously, one of the safest cities in America, and before that, one of the most dangerous cities in America. So what you just saw was from the car next to where the shooting was happening. I mean, it's just New York City is turning into Gotham City. It's just hard to watch. And so we're hoping and praying that no one passes away from this. Unfortunately, I'm just going to tell you how this is going to unfold. Every New York politician from AOC on down will say that we need gun control because of this. They're going to try to turn this into a gun control narrative, which of course is ridiculous and insane. It is not because of the gun this was done. It's not because of a ghost gun this was done. It's because of a criminal that did this. The suspect is still on the loose.
The media tends not to racialize anything unless it fits their narrative. We're not going to racialize this incident because we don't believe that race has anything to do with who you are or your value or your worth. But the more you learn about this shooting, the more you'll realize why the media will not tell you more about this. Meanwhile, Biden says that his ghost gun crackdown should be just the start on gun control, and none of this should, quote, absolve Congress. Let's go to another piece of tape here. Some of the footage of the aftermath, play cut 44. Total bedlam and total chaos. New York City is not the city that I remember. And the people of New York are just amazing. And they want New York to get back to what it once was. And the crime is so widespread. And I think it, I mean, we don't know anything about the person that did this. We don't know anything about the motives, and we're not going to speculate. But wouldn't it be tragic if this person who did this had previously committed a crime and was out on bail? I'm just saying, that's not something we haven't seen. We've seen a pattern of that in other cities. Time will tell as the manhunt continues for this person. We do know that based on reporting, though, that the surveillance cameras at the scene were out of commission. Now, that shouldn't surprise anyone, especially those of us that have been trying to get footage from the 2020 election of the ballot drop boxes. It seems as if cameras going out is kind of a new theme. Now, an interesting story in Politico somewhat ties into this. New York Democrats pare back nation-leading bail reform amid crime wave. Politico says, quote, there is no data showing that New York's bail reform has fueled the crime wave. Oh, really? Do you think that more criminals on the streets are going to help more crime happen? Isn't Politico so dishonest? And even Democrats who sought changes are quick to point that out. But Republicans have successfully suggested a correlation to sway voters. Yeah, bail reform sounds great until my friend Pastor David Engelhart has to fend off criminals at 10 o'clock at night, protecting his kids right in Wall Street when three or four people are coming up trying to mug them. That's in Wall Street. New York used to be one of the safest cities in the world. You could walk endlessly at night without any sort of concern. I went back to New York City last summer, and it was unrecognizable. It says here in the Politico article, a movement that seized the conversation in states across the nation following the murder of George Floyd is losing its momentum. In Illinois, Republicans are urging Democrats to halt a law for no cash bail that takes effect next year. In California, voters rejected a ballot measure to end cash bail. All of it is playing out as Democrats worry about losing control of the House and falling short in state legislative and governor races this fall. Eric Adams says, quote, you hear me say it over and over again. Public safety is a prerequisite to prosperity. If we're not safe, we're not going to prosper as a city. I totally agree. But it's about time you start to empower police officers to do their job in the city of New York. Yet the activists in New York have been working for years to try to make New York a criminal-friendly place. You see, if you understand the history of where New York was before the Giuliani and the Bloomberg kind of mayoral races or mayoral administration, New York was one of the most murderous and dangerous cities. And they completely cleaned up New York and made it the envy of the world, one of the safest places one could be. And New York is no longer that way. I mean, there are videos of people being shoved on in front of subway trains. And people are being mugged on a daily basis in neighborhoods where crime was just unthinkable. And now in Brooklyn, right going into Manhattan, someone comes in and detonates smoke grenades and starts shooting in random directions, injuring 16 people. It's just, it's a tragedy. It really is. Look, did you get hit with a big tax bill you were not expecting? With rates still being very low and home equity being high, it's the perfect time to refinance and get some cash out of your home. Look, you could go to one of these woke banks, Citibank, Chase, where they hate you. They hate the country, and they hate Christianity. Or you could refinance right now all of your mortgage needs with my friends. Guess what? It's so easy to remember the website, andrewandtodd.com. Just write it now, andrewandtodd.com. There with Sierra Pacific Mortgage. They're people I know and trust and work with them, and you should too. Just go to andrewandtodd.com. It takes 30 seconds to answer a couple of questions. This gives them the information they need to give you valuable information, often on the first call. Andrew and Todd, they are not brokers. They are bankers, which means they handle your loan from start to finish, so you always have someone in your corner. Take that first step towards getting that cash you need today. AndrewandTodd.com. That's AndrewandTodd.com, or call 888-888-1172, 888-888-1172. Do not use the banks that hate you. Use Andrew and Todd. They will do a great job for you, everybody. AndrewandTodd.com. That's AndrewandTodd.com. I want to go to some sound here. This all kind of ties together. The day after Joe Biden made his massive and radical push for further gun control, which does beg the question, what is the purpose of the Second Amendment? So let's read the Second Amendment. I have this beautiful Constitution provided by Turning Point USA. Great organization, if I might add. Bill of Rights was officially ratified in 1791, whereas the Constitution was ratified in 1788 is when they got the final votes from the states. I think Rhode Island was the last. Delaware was the first. Rhode Island was the last to ratify. But the Bill of Rights was modeled after the Virginia Declaration of Rights, written by George Mason. Okay, pretty simple. Quote, a well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. So the beginning, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, is misinterpreted all the time. What was a militia back when the founders wrote it? Any male ages 18 to 35. But when you read the Federalist Papers and you read the explanation of the first 10 amendments to the Constitution, and especially the Second Amendment, there is a philosophical reason, there's a moral reason why they put the Second Amendment there. And it wasn't to hunt deer, and it wasn't even to protect yourself against home invaders. All those things are necessary. But the purpose, the intent, is for something completely different. So the question is, what is the purpose of the Second Amendment? Is the purpose to be able to hunt deer, protect yourself and your family against home intruders? What is the purpose? Play cut 42.
And I know it's controversial, but I got it done once. Ban assault weapons and high-capacity magazines. What do you think the deer you're hunting are wear Kevlar vests? What the hell you need 20 bullets for? You must be a hell of a terrible shot. I'm serious. Think about it. Think about the mass shootings.
So what is the purpose? The purpose is not to hunt deer. That's nice. It's not to even defend yourself in the time of maybe a time of unrest. No. The purpose of the Second Amendment, we must unafraid to say this, is to protect ourselves against a potential tyrannical government. I'm not saying that tyrannical government is here. Some people believe it is. I think it would be a dark day in America where American citizens have to defend themselves against their own government. But this sort of revisionist, activist history, to act as if there's never been a tyrannical government in the last even 100 years, is gaslighting insanity. In order for people to be able to remain free, in order for people to be able to speak, you must be able to defend yourself. Is there any mystery over the last year that if people are not able to defend their rights, those rights will be taken away? There is no First Amendment without the Second Amendment. The Second Amendment is the amendment that protects all the others. The Second Amendment is not there to hunt deer, as Joe Biden says. The Kevlar vests are not there to protect yourself against a red stag or against something that you might try to be hunting. No, the Kevlar vest would be there because, God forbid, if our government turned to such a tyrannical way that we would be able to defend our right to self-government, as it says in the Declaration of Independence, when in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands that have tied themselves to another. Look, everybody, I know you love freedom and you want to defend it. And I know you love the Constitution. It's a beautiful document, and so do I. And it's the same with Hillsdale College, the best liberal arts college in America. Hillsdale's mission is pursuing truth and defending liberty. It gives its undergraduate and graduate students the best education and is working to make this education available to all, from offering free online courses to helping support K-12 schools. But today I want to tell you about Hillsdale's amazing free monthly digest of liberty. It's called Imprimis. Over 6 million households and businesses receive Imprimis for free each month. And you can join them by subscribing right now at charlieforhillsdale.com. That's charlieforhillsdale.com. There's no strings attached while you're there. Take an online course. Take their Aristotle course. Take their Winston Churchill course. Take their Western theology course. Generous donors who love freedom make it possible for Hillsdale to send you Imprimis for free. Imprimis is one of my favorite publications, and Imprimis means in the first place. It's short, smart, useful, and fun. Start receiving your own free copy of this great digest of liberty and take an online course while you're at it. Enroll. Their Great American Story course is incredible. Visit charlieforhillsdale.com. That's charlieforhillsdale.com. Check it out right now, charlieforhillsdale.com. So we have a Second Amendment, thankfully, and I believe that one of the reasons why America did not shut down and did not have a martial law as bad as we saw in other countries is because we have an armed citizenry. I believe that our reaction to COVID was one of the worst mistakes in American history. However, it could have been worse. It could have been like Australia, New Zealand. There's this story here that I want to touch on. I actually might do it in the next hour because it's so good and it's just so data-driven. Of the best and worst responses to COVID. And there is an interesting correlation here, though. And I will cover this in greater detail. That the states that actually performed the best and reopened the quickest actually have some of the loosest gun laws in the country. It's interesting, that correlation, isn't it? So we'll get into that. However, what does it look like when a country is not able to defend itself? Now, the people in charge, the regime, they don't like it when I say this, but this, it's true that the government having a little bit of fear of the people, that's a good thing. A little bit. The government should have a little bit of fear of the people, because who gives who power? The government should be a little bit, we don't want to upset them. You know, they got a little bit of, they got a check and balance on me. That is the ultimate check and balance on power, by the way. Remember, the process of which power is allocated in a constitutional republic is people voluntarily give up their power to their leaders, and the leaders are actually supposed to serve at the will of the people. And so the people must be able to defend themselves, and if necessary, be able to defend their liberties. Now, that's not a situation that I would ever enjoy seeing. I don't think anyone would. It's not something I would support in any way, anytime soon. But it's necessary to articulate the true meaning of the Second Amendment, which is so a free people can defend themselves against a usurpatious government. In fact, a properly designed government is a government supposed to fear the people, not the people fear the government. And one of the ways this is possible is to be able to have hundreds of millions of people own firearms. So Joe Biden is going on about deer hunting. We're not talking about deer hunting. We own weapons that, if God forbid your government, Joe Biden, got so tyrannical that we'd be able to defend our communities and our family. I don't think that's happening anytime soon. I don't want that to happen, but that's really what's going on here. And they say, oh, that will never happen in America. Well, we just saw a lot of things the last couple of years that we thought would never happen in America. Closing of businesses, closing of schools, forced mask mandates, can't leave a certain area. And how many other formerly free countries have we seen go into complete and inexplicable totalitarianism? So a country that does not have a Second Amendment means that the government can basically control you a lot easier. This is the argument we made with Hong Kong, that if every single one of the Hong Kong protesters had an AR-15 strapped around their back, it wouldn't be a hostage situation, it would be a negotiation. 100 million people with an AR-15 and a pistol or a sidearm, it makes it a lot harder to be able to tell them what to do whenever you want them to do it. When you look at examples of countries right now that don't have a Second Amendment, there's a direct correlation between those countries and pure dystopianism. The best example is the place that released the virus in the first place, China. China was the epicenter of the lab-created Wuhan virus. We called it the China virus for a reason. Now, China's getting very impatient, and I'm going to explain to you what I believe is the best theory as to why China is doing this, but China has now embraced a COVID-zero policy. I want you to imagine how insane it is to say we're going to have zero COVID cases in a country of 1.4 billion people. Shanghai, the wealthiest city in China, has gone into complete and total lockdown, with 25 million people not allowed to leave their apartments. They are driving the people in Shanghai completely and totally crazy. In fact, the people of Shanghai, not being able to leave their apartments, are screaming from their apartments, demanding that they be let out. Cut 35, a health security expert, told CNN, Shanghai is an inspiration to world leaders. Quote, the legacy of Shanghai will return to a mass lockdown for larger cities in the near to medium term. Play cut 35.
A health security expert called Nicholas Thomas just told CNN that Shanghai is an inspiration to the world's leaders. Quote, the legacy of Shanghai will see a return to mass lockdowns for larger cities in the near to medium term. And if you watch carefully, you can see all of this taking shape. And why wouldn't it be taking shape in this country? We've got midterm elections coming, and the ruling party is predicted to be in tough shape. So they're doing something about it.
Cut 49, Shanghai residents heard screaming from their windows as the COVID lockdown continues. Does this sound like a free country? Play cut 49. Let's ask a very simple question, the most basic question. If every single one of the people screaming from their apartment had an AR-15, would they still be screaming from their apartment? Would the government feel that they had the complete ability to lock you down and to starve you if every single person had a weapon? Without even having to fire a shot, if the government thinks that you have the ability to defend yourself and to defend your family, the decisions that they make are a lot different. Play cut 10, Shanghai residents go to their balconies to sing and protest. Meanwhile, a drone appears and says in Chinese, quote, please comply with COVID restrictions. Control your soul's desire for freedom. Do not open the window or sing. Why is China doing this? I'll explain why in a second. Play cut 10. So this doesn't make a lot of sense, does it? Because you'd say, wait a second, we know that COVID isn't the killer we thought it would. Why is China now going to a zero-based policy? Why is China now going into a complete totalitarian, like the most insane you could imagine? Well, our friend of the show, Jack Posobiec, has what I believe to be the best explanation of this. And I don't hear anyone on cable television getting even remotely close to this. Jack Posobiec, Human Events Daily. Xi Jinping is up for what could be the closest thing to an election this fall. Xi Jinping is coming up to what would be called a historical resolution. He's dictator for life unless he loses support of the elites around them. Now, to understand Chinese culture or Asian culture, you must understand that a lot of Asian cultures are a highly superstitious people. That's not a stereotype. It's a fact. This is why gambling and chance and risk is a very big part of Asian culture. Now, Asian culture, they believe, especially in Chinese culture, in this idea of the mandate of heaven. And this is Jack Posobiec in great detail has gone into this, and it's brilliant. Similar to Europe's divine right of kings, the Chinese mandate of heaven differed in that it did not unconditionally entitle an emperor to rule the Chinese empire. While on the dragon throne, Xi Jinping is, the quote, son of heaven, has total powers over his subjects, but he did not have to be of noble birth, but he could lose his heavenly mandate for being unworthy, unjust, or plain incompetent. However, the right of the populace to rebel was implicitly guaranteed if the heavens were seen to be displeased. Now, what would be a sign that the heavens are displeased? Famine, plague, invasion, or pestilence were all regarded as signs the mandate of heaven had been withdrawn. So Xi Jinping is very worried in, yes, an atheistic, but still a hyper-superstitious culture that people are talking, saying the CCP and Xi Jinping have lost their mandate of heaven because COVID continues. So Xi Jinping is very worried going into the fall that if the virus continues to spread, the superstitious cabal that he has to get support from will say he has lost support because the virus rages and continues. Now, we in the West, you know, post-Enlightenment think this sort of thinking is insane, obviously, but they don't. China, you could do whatever you want to do with me, but wait a second. If a tsunami, a flood, an earthquake, a tornado, if a civil war or a plague comes, I'm going to question your authority. And this is precisely what you're seeing now unfold in China, is Xi Jinping lose the support that he is supposed to be there, or the mandate from heaven. But very simply, the Chinese people are hostages. If you do not have a Second Amendment, you end up being a hostage in the country that you live in. It's just a matter of time until the people with the guns are able to tell the people without the guns what to do. The Second Amendment is a moral equalizer. The Second Amendment is there so that the people in charge do not feel they can roll tanks through the streets and tell you what to do. And we know that's exactly what they're going to do. They're doing it in China. They did it in Australia. They did it in New Zealand. They did it in Canada. Justin Trudeau would not be empowered to walk through the streets of Ottawa. And let's not forget, that was only like 45 to 60 days ago in the bitter, frigid temperatures of Ottawa, where Justin Trudeau mobilized Canadian troops and arrested truckers. If every trucker had a shotgun and an AR-15 and didn't necessarily use it, but just the idea that they could arm themselves against the government, forget it. Now, that's not to say there's no gun ownership in Canada, but it's nowhere near as widespread as it is in America. Nowhere near. Regular, normal, everyday citizens being able to own firearms is a check and balance in the Constitution against tyranny. Put separately or differently, gun ownership is a prophylactic against tyranny. Gun ownership is to government that ivermectin can be to COVID. Let's go to some sound here. Cut 50 is the governor of New York, who's actually in some political trouble. There's a phenomenal challenge being mounted against Lee Zeldin, who I've got a chance to know very well over the last couple of years. He's doing a great job. Play cut 50.
Did the people of the entire state of New York stand with the people of this city, this community, and we say no more. No more mass shootings. No more disrupting lives. No more creating heartbreak for people just trying to live their lives as normal New Yorkers. It has to end, and it ends now. And we are sick and tired of reading headlines about crime, whether they're mass shootings or the loss of a teenage girl or a 13-year-old. It has to stop. I'm committing the full resources of our state to fight this surge of crime, this insanity that is seizing our city, because we want to get back to normal.
That's a really interesting press conference. She's basically admitting this is a major issue, by the way. You see, Democrats, they go from saying it's not an issue to being like, oh, now we're the ones that are going to fix it, even though we're the ones that created it. So Governor Hochul is making a decision. She's making a decision to try to position herself as a moderate or center right on crime. And guess what? People want safe streets. If you fix bail reform, stop and frisk, and special NYPD units and put them on the streets, crime will go down. But Hochul has a big problem. She'll have to deal with BLM. How she will deal with BLM? I don't know. But if she tries to fix one of these things, the New York BLM chapter and all the activists and all the people that write for the New York Times, they're going to go straight at her and straight with Eric Adams. Will New York City decide to put ideology aside and prioritize what they know works, even though they might get hate mail and they might get protests? That is the question in front of what was once America's greatest city. I still love New York. I love it at the core, but it's not what it used to be. And I just love the people of New York. They deserve so much better than what they are getting from Eric Adams and from Governor Hochul and this crime spree that is all across New York. And guess what, Governor Hochul? No more pleading. No more mass shootings. Do something about it. Mobilize the police. Let them do their job. And ignore the activists when they start screaming in your ears. New York will be safer and a great city again if you do that. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Email me your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. And support the Charlie Kirk Show at charliekirk.com/support. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.